We've been going through 1 Peter over these last 2 weeks, if you haven't been with us, which is the case for some of you. The passage that Eric read this morning is the passage for today, and we're focusing especially on the second part. And we saw over the past 2 weeks of this letter that Peter is writing to followers of Jesus throughout Asia Minor, so modern-day Turkey. And these Christians are suffering, you might remember, grief in all kinds of trials, Peter says, and he encourages them by reminding them of God's purpose from eternity. He reminds them of God's action in salvation and his faithfulness to his promises, this sure promise of a living hope, an enduring inheritance, a certain salvation, things that have come out this morning as well. And he encourages these believers by reminding them of God's goal in our trials, to refine our faith, to bring praise and honor and glory when Jesus Christ is revealed. Last week, Alan took us through the rest of chapter 1, where we saw this focus on this call to be holy as God is holy, for God's children to reflect the character of our Father in heaven, his set-apartness from sin, his purity and perfection, and living as faithful followers of Jesus in this foreign land, in loving one another and showing the world that we are Christ's disciples by our love for one another. And here this morning, we see a continuance of this idea, really. This new birth has taken place in us. We are not who we were. And so we are to have this new hunger for pure spiritual milk, that this truth of God's word. We want to be like our Father in heaven. We want to reflect him. We want to please him. We want to live for him and through his power in our lives by his Spirit. Because, as Peter says from the psalm, we have tasted that the Lord is good. Lee was reflecting on Psalm 119 a few weeks back, and verse 103 of that long psalm says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Psalm 34, the psalmist invites the reader, he invites us, he says in verse 8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." Peter writes here in verse 4 of chapter 2, "As you come to him, the living stone, that is Jesus Christ, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him." I want to ask you this morning, on this significant day in the life of our church, I want to ask you what I think is the most significant question. Is Jesus precious to you? Is he precious to you? Because here Peter reflects on two types of people, doesn't he? Those who stumble over Jesus, those who reject him, and those for whom Jesus is chosen and precious, he says. Peter does not give us a third category. Either Jesus is chosen and precious to us, he's our treasure, he's our delight, or he isn't. Other things are more precious to us. And ultimately then, he is rejected as chosen and precious. And so let me ask you, have you realized the importance of Jesus in your life? Is he the most precious treasure that you have? Is he precious to you? In Peter's language from chapter 1, do you love him even though you've not seen him? Do you believe in him even though you do not see him now? And so you're filled with this inexpressible and glorious joy, because we're receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Not here. It starts now, but we have that glorious kingdom that we've been singing about to come. Let me read verses 9 to 10 again. Peter says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." God has chosen you and me in Christ before the foundation of the world, his people. This is an amazing truth that we can just glaze over. We are his chosen people. we read here. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God Almighty, His possession. All these pictures are from the Old Testament of intimacy with God, His people, His priests, His nation, His possession. And Peter says, in Christ, that is you, Jew or Gentile. We are His. We belong to Him. Once we were not a people, Peter said, but now we are the people of God. Once we had not received mercy, in fact, we were objects of God's just punishment for our sin. But now in Christ, we've received mercy, Peter says. And he gives us a purpose here, doesn't he? God has chosen us that we may declare, that we may proclaim the praises, the excellencies, the virtues, the wonderful deeds, that we may declare God's praises, that we may declare who He is and what He has done. And here we're given so much of that for which we praise Him, aren't we? God, who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. We've seen how we were not a people, but now we're the people of God. We'd not received mercy, but now we've received mercy. We were in darkness. We were dead in our sins. We were cut off from relationship to God. We were worshipping everything that was not Him. Jesus was not chosen. He was not precious to us. And God, in His wonderful goodness, in His mercy and grace, He brought you and me into His light, into His marvelous light, His wonderful light. We read in chapter 1 that He caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That this was God's action. It was His doing. It was His grace. And so as we look forward as a church, as we look back and we look forward today on this significant day, when we say here at Westview Baptist Church, which we all asked you to sign this vision statement, we say in it that we exist to bring glory to God as a community of faith in Western Sydney. This has to be what we're talking about. What Peter has written. We are His people by grace through faith in His Son, in His death and resurrection. And as God's people, our goal, our aim, our purpose is to declare His praise. It's to point people to Him. It's to show Him off. It's to glorify Him, we say. As a church, we have said that we do this, that we bring glory to God as a church by making passionate disciples of Jesus, both in proclaiming His praises to those who are not His people, and teaching those who are His people to obey everything the Lord Jesus has commanded us, as He said. Well, recently when the elders and deacons met and we talked about our purpose and mission, values and vision of our church, an outcome of this talking, this process, this prayer over this past few weeks especially has been for us to think into, to pray into, and now to have you, the church, the whole body, join with us in discerning the way ahead. Because we want to make passionate disciples of Jesus. I hope that's your aim. We're not about Westview's kingdom. We're not about our glory. We're about God's kingdom and His glory. And so this is what we are wondering and considering and bringing to you this morning. I want you to imagine if in 2 years' time we planted a church community in the Western Sydney area. We planted a church community where we would send 20 to 30 of our own members, our own community, to form this new body. Imagine if we might even partner with another church in this, so that they too would send 20 to 30 people to be part of this new church. And over the next 2 years, we would intentionally invest into preparing people for this next chapter, discipling one another, training, praying, and seeking God's direction for who would go and who would stay. What is this stemming from? Where does this come from? Well, a number of things. As we thought about some of the practical needs of our church, for example, the problem of the size in here, as you noticed this morning, our church property sometimes it needs more room. And we thought about this. But when we, that led us to think about, what are we about as a church? Who are we? And if we were to get more and more people coming along, should we, for example, just remodel this place, rebuild, or even knock down and rebuild? But as we have sat and pondered our purpose to bring glory to God in Western Sydney, our mission, the way we are to do this, making passionate disciples of Jesus, and also our vision outcomes, which you can read later if you're not familiar with them. As we thought about all these and who it is that we are as a church, the size and culture and identity of our church, we have thought that we're not seeking to be a big church of, say, 200, 300, 400 people. That's not our aim. Who we are and how we are gifted seems to us to fit a lot better with the goal of planting a small family-sized church community like ourselves that also seek to make passionate disciples of Jesus for God's glory. As we have considered this and we look back at the constitution of our church, we find great encouragement that reflects this same heart. Let me read you the objective from one of the six objectives of our church from long ago. To encourage the planting of Bible-based, Christ-centered churches in other places. As we look at the scriptures, we only see this objective strengthened and reinforced. Our desire this morning, though, is to share this thinking with you, the church. This pondering to bring you into this, the church, Christ's body. We want to discuss this together. We want to think in this together, pray in this together, discern God's mind together. Because we're wanting to seek His heart, God's heart, His leading. And we trust, we believe that that comes from the discernment of not just the leadership of the church, but the whole body of the church. This, of course, brings up a number of questions, and we could be here all morning doing that. But I just wanted to suggest some questions. I thought that would be helpful. There's probably many more, and that's fine. And I just want to offer some possible answers. There's probably a lot more too. But just three probably quick questions and some possible answers. Firstly, why would we do this? Well, we've already sort of talked about that. Our purpose as a church, our mission, but also we've mentioned our culture, our ethos as a church, who we are and how God has crafted us to be and function. We are a small church, a family church, a church that likes to be involved in one another's lives. I think we do really well at that. And we want to make passionate disciples of Jesus everywhere. That's our goal. And there are many places where another small church like ourselves could provide a similar place where people can hear and grow in their faith in Jesus and come to faith in Jesus. Do we have enough people? Might be another question. Well, I think yes and no. We don't have enough people to have the best church band that was ever around or the most activities that a church ever had. But God has provided, we believe, for everything we need through the gifts that He has given us. We also feel that this is a step of faith, to step out and to start prayerfully preparing with this aim to plant a church will help us as a church to be more clear and thoughtful as to who we are and how God has gifted each one of us here and how and when and where He might be leading us to serve, whether by staying here or by going to the plant. What would it cost us finally? What would it cost us? In one sense, it would cost us a lot. It would mean that we would have to be willing to go and willing to stay when those we love are doing the opposite. There would be people who choose to be a part of the plant, the church plant, and people who would choose not to be a part of it. And this would mean that we would not all be together as we are here on a Sunday morning. It would cost us also in our time. We would need to be more prayerful in discerning the way forward together. It would cost us in our time in discipling one another and being discipled to prepare for this. And it would cost us in comfort and ease. It would mean that instead of choosing to have, for example, 3 Sunday school teachers, we might only have 1. To have 3 elders, we might only have 2, and so forth, at least for a time. It would mean giving up to give away for God's glory. But there's one thing that I believe it wouldn't cost us. And that is joy. It is God's inexpressible and glorious joy that would be ours in Christ, whether we stay or go. It would be the joy of living for His purposes and sacrificing for His purposes, to see His kingdom come, to see people come to know him and come to develop their gifts to serve the body, to see people more wholly dependent on God in prayer, which is our aim. Now, there's so much more to think about, to talk about, to pray into. So let me just invite you this morning, have those conversations. Talk to me, talk to Lee, Tony, Tony and Lynn as well. Talk amongst yourselves, talk to us, share your thoughts, pray with us. Let's do this together. That's the aim of this morning, to bring you in with us on this thinking, on this discernment. But let me share with you what we found also to be really helpful. And this is principle, the three D's. Discern, decide, details. We are in the discern phase now as a church. This is the discerning time. We are seeking and we are asking you, the church, Christ's body, to join with us to discern God's direction in this, his leading on this idea. Then comes the deciding. Discerning must happen first, and then the details. So things like who would go and what would it look like and where would it be and what would it be called and how would it be financed, they are all great questions, valid questions, but we believe that we must first discern and decide. Because if it is of the Lord, he'll work out the details, won't he? He will provide, he will open things up. But the question, if I'm bringing a summary here, the thing we are asking for your prayers, your ponderings, your thinking on, your feedback, is this. Is planting a church in the next 2 years the best way that we can seek to be passionate disciples of Jesus to the glory of God as a community of faith in Western Sydney? Tony and then Lee are going to come up and say a few words, but before they do, let me just pray for us. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word and just the preciousness of today. We thank you for the way your word challenges us and for the way it reminds us of who you are and what you have done. Father, I pray this morning that the Lord Jesus would be chosen and precious to us. Above all things, I pray that he would be the delight and treasure of this church and of all the people here gathered. Father, we invite you, we ask you as a church this morning to lead us forward in this process of discernment. We see that in your word, we exist for your glory, that you have given all authority to Jesus, your Son, who's called us to make passionate disciples of him for your glory. So, Father, we just ask you to lead us in this as a church, as we discern the way forward, as we seek to be about your purposes, your mission, about your kingdom. We ask you to lead us forward, that your name might be honored and praised and glorified in all things. And so we ask these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Tony's going to come and then Lee will follow him.
This is a bad idea. It is a very, very bad idea. If our purpose is to build the Westview Kingdom, if our mission as a church is simply just to be a sharing, caring place, this is a bad idea. However, as I read the purpose statement, our purpose is not to build the Westview Kingdom, but to bring glory to God as a community of faith in Western Sydney. As I read our mission, I don't read the mission as to be just a loving community, but to be one who makes passionate disciples for Jesus. I know that this will do this because already in the last month I've become more passionate. I've become more passionate about being a disciple for Jesus. You remember? What's this? Don't say an umbrella. What's this? A cloud. Remember? It was a year ago today that I did this children's talk. And how was I to know I was going to speak to one man who led his family here and many others? How was I to know that, you know, when Israel followed the cloud, They were going through the wilderness. When the cloud rose, they would follow him, wouldn't they? And we were up there walking around up on the stage. The umbrella represents the cloud which the Israelites followed through the wilderness. That same cloud led them to the Jordan River the first time. You remember the first time? They discussed that God, they discerned that God wanted them to go to the promised land. They discerned that. But when they crossed over, the spies went over, they couldn't decide to do that because the details were too frightening. What was the details? There was big ones, wasn't there? The enemy was there. They're big. We can't go there. So they did not even decide because of the details. Fear drove them away from what God wanted. Through the life of our church, we have discerned that this is a church planting church. That's our, was our aim right from the beginning. This is a part of who we are. We should not fail to decide to do that because of fear. 38 years later, that generation went to the Jordan River again. The same details were there, those big enemies, but they would not let their fear drive them away. They decided to face their details. And God's message to Joshua, wasn't it? Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. After the excitement of that retreat with the elders and deacons, I started to backpedal. I would become fearful at the cost. I looked at what it would might cost us, and I had fear. And so it was, and I thought, this is a bad idea. It's a very, very bad idea. But then I remember that our purpose is, as a church, is not to build the Westview Kingdom, but to bring glory to God as a community of faith in Western Sydney. Our mission is not to be just the loving, caring community, but it is to make passionate disciples of Jesus. And I'm so excited what I think God might do through this. Over the next few years, what God might do. And ask Lee to come up.
Just for the record, I always said it was a good idea. I cannot express to you how I have longed to stand here after the meeting we had, the retreat we had a few weeks ago, to present this information to you. It is something that certainly captured my heart from the beginning, and I'm very happy to be standing here now. But my purpose is to just bring a few things together now. You've heard JJ, you've heard Tony, and what is next? What should we do as a community, as a community of faith? What is next? What happens now? Firstly, please, we want to remember we are in that discerning stage. We are a church planting church. That's part of our objective. What are we going to do with that objective, with our purpose, with our mission, with our values, with our vision? How are we going to make that happen? We want you to take this information. We want you to talk about it. We want you to think about it. We want you, above all, to pray about it. There will be a meeting very soon, the 20th of August. We're set aside Sunday night, the 20th of August. Can I impress on you to be at that meeting? Someone from your family, everybody from your family, whoever can come, please set that night aside. It will be really important for you to come and to be a part of this from the beginning. Please set that aside and be here. Pray about this issue. Pray yourself Pray in your families. Pray in the groups that you meet during the week. Pray with those outside the church you trust with this kind of information. What should you pray? Pray. Ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you and the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints and His incomparably great power for us who believe. Pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Pray these things as you pray into this issue. Pray these things as you pray into this issue. And pray that being rooted and established in love, you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. We are not in the business of building Westview. We are not in the business of building mini Westviews. We are in the business of building passionate disciples of Jesus, and we see planting a church as the best way for us to achieve that goal, that purpose, that mission, those values, that vision. Pray with us that this is the will of God for our church. Please, would you like to stand for a blessing? Thank you all for coming, for your patience, for your participation. Thank you for being a part of Reuben and JJ and Suna's dedication. But now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.